Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Panic Podcast after our few hours break. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. Today we're going to continue our look at 1 Peter, standing firm under stress. I want to look at the problem of undeserved suffering on today's program. And we're going to look at verses, I think, in each chapter of 1 Peter. So get those Bibles opened up, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 1, as we begin looking at the problem of undeserved human suffering. Now, I know some of you recognize that piece of music. It's called What's Going On? And I guarantee you that that is a question that you have asked yourself more than once. What's going on? What's going on in my life? Why is this happening? And now we almost always ask that when something bad is happening. We never ask when something good is happening. But when bad things are happening, when there's suffering or distress or anxiety or whatever, we'll ask the question, what is going on? Usually followed by, what did I do wrong? Well, today, I want to look at the problem of undeserved human suffering. Because suffering for one's own sins seems just, seems to make sense. But how can God be good and great and allow suffering and death by things that you have no control over, like tornadoes or earthquakes or lightning or disease and other natural causes? The good, upstanding Christian gets cancer. A baby is born blind. Why? Why? What's going on? I think this is probably the most difficult problem for faith. And in fact, there's no answer to this question. But it's an encouragement to our faith that this is a problem to us. Because we intuitively believe that God is good and holy and powerful. Jesus, the supreme example of an innocent person suffering, revealed God as good. The noblest Christians of all ages, many who came to their faith through suffering, affirm with Paul, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him and who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So the problem of human suffering, that's what we're going to look at. And as I said at the top of the program, we're going to look at verses in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we'll see how far we get. 1 Peter was written to suffering Christians. And some of you might be suffering today. Some of you might be going through a difficult time. In fact, some of you might have been in your difficult time for quite a while. And I hope that this study here today is a bit of an encouragement to you. We all get down, especially when it seems like a rough patch just goes on and on and on. Maybe you're having hard times at work or hard times in your marriage with your family, or could be any number of things. First of all, I guess I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not the only person going through whatever it is you're going through. And while I personally right now at this moment in my life may not be going through it, it's highly likely that at some point I will. Suffering to various degrees is just part of the human condition. So let's get cracking here with 1 Peter 1, verse 6. We'll read verses 6 and 7 to get us started. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed or when he comes again. The suffering that you experience and the security that you possess as a believer, those two contrasting things, the suffering that you go through and the sure and certain knowledge that you are a child of God, both of those things work together, if you can believe it, to produce joy in your life. Now, they can do this because it's a work of God in your life. God our Father, according to his mercy, has given us a new birth. He's given us a new nature and a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in the future, yeah, he has this incredible, inconceivable, unimaginable inheritance waiting for us. So now we rejoice regardless of what we're going through. We rejoice during periods of suffering and trials. All right? That almost seems like a counterintuitive thing, but it's the absolute truth according to God's words. You don't rejoice because of the difficult times that you're going through. You rejoice because you are a child of God. And when you are experiencing a difficult time in your life, nothing can take God away from you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Peter gives us reasons for kind of enduring our suffering or trials down here. He says, first of all, they don't last forever. Look what it says up here. It says, though now for a little while. Okay, I know some of you are just shaking your head thinking, that's easy for you to say. You don't have my fill in the blank, my chronic pain. You don't have my marriage. You don't have my boss. Well, you're right. I don't have any of those things. I've got trials of my own. But they don't last long compared to all eternity. I think that in our day, there's way, way too much emphasis on the present life. And this very worldly attitude that this life is all there is, I think has crept into the church. And we become a generation of navel gazers. We're always looking at ourselves. So I think that instead of so much introspection, instead of navel gazing all the time, instead of looking with regret at, you know, what we're experiencing today is because of something we did way back yonder, we ought to be looking outward. We got to be looking to the great God that we have and to what lies ahead for us. We should stop taking so much time trying to think of how we can run our own lives and make things better for ourselves and start trusting in God. God is the one who is in the business of improving us, who is in the business of blessing us. He's the one who's trying to bring us to maturity in our Christian life. And sometimes he does this through trials, through suffering. This is a common thing throughout all of the Bible, the suffering that God's people go through. So really what I want you to remember, and the big takeaway from the first part of today's lesson, is that our trials, the difficult times that you may be experiencing, are only temporary. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18. Now listen to this. For our light and momentary troubles. Same idea that Paul's talking about here. They're temporary. Our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, i.e. our troubles, but on what is unseen, i.e. the incredible blessings that God has waiting for us and what He is doing in us through the troubles that we are going through. Since what is seen is temporary, our troubles, but what is unseen, our blessings in the future, is eternal. Don't ever forget that. That's just a wonderful, wonderful verse that you need to remember. Down here on planet Earth, we seem to have a lot of trouble, and it seems to go on and on and on. Seems so hard. But when we begin to measure what we're going through on Earth by the weight of the glory that is coming someday, it really is light, a light affliction. Our years pass so quickly. We are not to get too fixed on the things that we can see, because these things all around us are passing away. And you just need to remember that. When you're going through a difficult time, sometimes we try to solve the problems ourselves. Like I can think of maybe, three different things we do to try to improve our situation. It's almost always a dumb idea to do this. Like some people, some Christians even, escape the problem of suffering through things like atheism or some form of materialism. You know, believing that the more stuff that you can get, the more comfortable you can make your life down here, the easier time you're going to have of it. That's just a bad idea. That's basically saying that you're in charge of your life and you're just not in charge of your life. Some people deny sin and sorrow, and they deny death actually exists. They say things like, these are errors of the mortal mind. You know, pain seems real, as anyone knows who's ever been to the cemetery. But you can't escape your pain. You can't escape your trials. You've got to deal with them in some way. You can't just seek some kind of weird esoteric philosophy to deal with these problems. And some people lay all suffering and pain on the devil. In my experience, we had a fine, fine Christian couple whose baby fell from a 4th or 5th story their apartment building to his death, and they basically said the devil did it. They blamed it on the devil. Well, the Bible teaches that the devil can only act with God's permission. God is stronger than the devil. And so that approach of blaming all your difficult times on Satan, that never solves any problems. It might make you feel good for the moment, but then you've got to face up to what you're going through and just learn to trust in the Lord. Let's look at some more verses here. Let me see. Where am I going? We're going into chapter 2, verse 19. Peter writes, "For it is commendable if you bear up under the pain of unjust suffering, because you're conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it?" That's right, because you deserved it. "But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God." So that's something else you need to remember, that sometimes your suffering occurs because you've done something wrong. My mother, when we were growing up, she always used to say that if you go out of the house with wet hair in the morning, you're going to catch a cold. I'm not sure how those two things were related. Did your mother ever tell you that? If you leave the house after you've had a hot shower and you haven't dried your hair completely, and you walk down to the end of the road to the bus stop, you're going to catch a cold by the end of day. So if you leave the house with a wet head, you're going to get sick because you deserve it. You did a stupid thing. Presumably that's what my mother was trying to teach me. And this is what Peter's trying to say. While it is commendable if you bear up under the pain of unjust suffering, it's not, and God blesses you for that. He's not going to bless you because you are suffering for something that you did. Now, if you're a believer and you did something wrong and you suffer because of it, that's fair, but God will be with you in that suffering. He may not bless you during it, but he will be with you and he will give you strength to go through it, you know? So how do we relate this idea to suffering for unjust things? Like Jesus, you look at Jesus. I mean, he suffered. Look at verse 23 of chapter 2. When they hurled their insults at him, at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges justly. That's God. Now, what about you? What about you when you are experiencing any kind of suffering for no reason that you are aware of? You didn't do anything wrong and you don't deserve it. How does that relate to the goodness of God? Well, let's talk about that for a second. First of all, you need to understand this. God knows all. You and I have only a partial knowledge. We see the dark underside of the cloud, but God sees the sun shining on top of it from above. Remember the story of Job and his witless friends? They wrestled with this problem. And there's value in Job's conclusion that God is so great, that God is so wonderful, as evidenced by his marvelous creation, that we can trust him to know what is going on that we are unaware of. I mean, just read Job chapters 38 through 40, and you'll see what I mean. Look at Job 42 for a second. I want to read a handful of verses here. Job 42, verses 1 to 6. These are among my favorite verses in the Bible. Then Job replied to the Lord. Now listen to this. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? God has a purpose for your life. And I don't care what you're going through. God's purpose for your life cannot be thwarted. That means it can't be stopped. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? That's what Job and his friends were doing. Job was suffering greatly, and Job and his friends were just saying all kinds of ridiculous things about God, trying to justify himself, saying, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why God is causing this to happen to me. And Job's friends were busy saying, well, you must have done something wrong because God's not going to let you suffer for no reason. So there's obviously sin in your life, or you're obviously a wicked person and you've covered it up your whole life. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. So that's what Job and his friends were doing. Job goes on here to say, surely I spoke of things I do not understand. Job assumed he knew all about God. Job assumed he knew all about how God worked. He knew all of God's will. Then he says, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Job says, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself, and I repent in ashes." Job admits that he'd been talking about things he doesn't understand or know anything about. And that's the way it is with human beings, isn't it? We think we know everything. We think we can figure anything out. That's what Job was doing. He'd been talking about God's will as though he knew all about it. And now, by the end of the book, after Job's suffering had passed, he had this new vision of God. Now, he's not in a position to question God anymore. He's learned to trust him. It's a brand new relationship. Job saw himself as he really was, and he came into a new relationship with himself. He saw that he was, well, vile. He didn't like what he saw. He sees himself in a new relationship with God, and he repents. He repents. And he started to trust God. He started to realize that God was far bigger than he could ever imagine. Secondly, suffering may be a means of growth in faith and character. As a hot fire is necessary to separate pure gold from its baser metals and dross, the fires of suffering are used to purify faith. Sometimes God, he may not cause the suffering that you're going through, but he allows it to touch your life, to cause you to learn something that will improve your character and strengthen your faith. For example, Satan was allowed to sift Peter as wheat is threshed to separate grain from chaff. That process is not pleasant, but it doesn't hurt the wheat in any way. You can read about that in Luke chapter 22. Paul prayed earnestly for the removal of a thorn in his flesh. A lot of scholars think that was like an eye disease. Maybe he was blind or something. That's why he had other people writing down his letters. He thought that was hurting his ministry, but God didn't take it away. But God did give Paul grace to bear up under it. Paul lived to see that the suffering of his thorn made him a better preacher and a better minister. 2 Corinthians 12. Sometimes God uses suffering to reclaim the backslider and to convict the unsaved person. Take a look at Hebrews 12 for just a second. Now listen to this. Hebrews 12, beginning to read at verse 5. "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as children? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a child. As his child." So God disciplines you to straighten you out and to bring you back into a proper relationship with him. It's a lot like what your parents do, or what they used to do until this present generation, apparently. But my dad I was a strong-willed child, and my father used to say things like, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to give you a cauliflower ear. I had no idea what, it took me till I was an adult before I figured out what a cauliflower ear was, but of course he never did that. But I mean, God, my father disciplined me for my own good. He saw what I was doing, that I was heading down the wrong path. And because I was a strong-willed individual, he had to administer a little bit of discipline. You know, not always physical discipline, sometimes withholding something from me. But it was for my own good, and I learned something. Well, God does the same thing. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. In other words, when you're going through something that's rough, don't get mad at God for it. Try to understand it and trust in the Lord. And if you find out that you're suffering, don't get all discouraged. Don't get down. Don't wallow in the pits of despair. Don't lose a heart when you're going through a difficult time. And understand that God disciplines you because he loves you. The writer to the Hebrews here almost wants you to assume that whatever rough patch you're going through, it's God doing something good in your life. And I think that's a good assumption to make. It helps you deal with things. Just assume that God's trying to teach you something. It's a good way to deal with it. I like that. Suffering also makes us more empathetic to other people. Like if there were no pain, no suffering, there would be no concern or no empathy for what other people are going through. I mean, how hard-hearted would we be if we never went through the tough times that our neighbor is going through right now? Sometimes our suffering helps us to understand the suffering of the Lord. He's the supreme example of the innocent suffering for the guilty. Like Jesus thanked God for the privilege of being the Savior. He believed that God would bring good out of evil, and so he did. Jesus endured the cross, and he discovered the joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And when all was said and done, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah. When we suffer, we begin to understand all that Jesus went through just to save our souls. He fulfilled the promise of God spoken through Isaiah about the Messiah. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53, I think it's verse 11. And one who suffers especially for the sake of the faith is blessed. He knows that God knows all about it, and he stands on the side of those who've been loyal to God at any cost, at any cost. We leave the problem of suffering as we found it, unsolved. I can't explain why you're going through what you're going through. All I can do is point you to verses of Scripture to give you hope and to give you encouragement. I know this, that God is good. And there's a reason, a purpose behind every difficult situation you may experience in life. I don't know what it is. I can guess. But folks, in the final analysis, I pray for you as you pray for me, but it's you and God. It's you and God. And you need to cling in faith to the fact that God knows more than you do. And he has a plan for your life that he is working out. Always remember what Peter wrote here, that all these many trials are temporary, but the good eternal life that God has planned for you when this life is over with will be so much better. And the moment you enter eternity, you will not remember what you went through here on earth. Isaiah teaches that in his book of prophecy in the Old Testament. He says that the former things will not be remembered. That's why, folks, there are no tears in heaven. God will wipe away all those tears and all those memories of the pain that you went through on earth will be gone. I've learned this, and I'm still learning it. I still wonder sometimes why I go through some of the bad things I go through. And I still question God. But in the end, I just throw up my hands and say, Lord, you know what's best for me. Forgive me for ever doubting you. Just give me the strength to trust you and to go on. And I just want to encourage you, folks. I don't know what you're going through. But please trust in the Lord. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your faith. It's worth far more than anything that you're going through right now. Okay, that's it for today. I'm starting to sprinkle a little bit. I've been here under my pergola. It's just threatening rain here. I hope you're having a good week so far. As we've been talking about suffering, I hope you haven't been. Hope you've been having a good week. We start our midweek Bible study and family night services at church. Be sure to come on out tonight as we begin our series in faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Faith according to Hebrews chapter 11. Over the next four or five Wednesday nights, we're going to study the biblical concept of faith and try to understand it. Those studies, for those of you not anywhere close to my church, they'll be put up on Mondays starting next Monday. That's it for today. Folks, thank you so much for listening. As always, we'll be back on Friday. We'll be continuing our series in 1 John. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, have an awesome day today. Go on out, make it a great day. And most of all, find a way to bless somebody. God bless you. We'll see you soon.